How are you guys doing this morning? You doing okay? Okay, one woof, that's good. I'm doing well. This has been an exciting weekend. I don't know if you guys know this. We had our first ever wedding in this building. Did you know that? And as Alex and Susie, they're right here today. I didn't expect them to be here, so I was going to talk about them without them being here, but they're right over there. Cool. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Very good. I wasn't ready for applause, but that's good. Go encourage them later. They're, I'm sure, very excited. This has been a big weekend, obviously, for them. And I'm excited to be here to be a part of the sermon series that we're doing called Preeminent, where we're teaching through the book of Colossians and really focusing on Jesus and who he is and what it means for him to be preeminent. And it's been so encouraging so far, and I hope today will be the same too. We're going to keep going and dive into chapter 2. But before we do that, let's pray. God, thanks for today and just this opportunity that we have to come together as a church and worship you and be encouraged by one another and what you're doing in our lives. And we have a chance to just hear from you, from your word. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of Colossians and what you've been teaching us out of it so far. And we pray that you continue to do that this morning. Pray this in your name. Amen. All right, we're going to just jump right in, okay? This is Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 6. It says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Therefore, right? That's referring to everything that he's talked about so far in this letter, referring to the fact that Jesus is preeminent. He's first and foremost. In him, we have reconciliation with God. In him, we have the revelation of God's mystery. Jesus is the mystery. He is how we can be restored to God. In him, we find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him, we learn maturity. That's what it means for Jesus to be preeminent. It's all about him, all because of him, all for him. So, therefore, as you receive Jesus, keep walking in him. Keep walking in Jesus. We're going to dig into what that means in just a minute. But before we do, I want us just to think about those words, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. Because Paul's exhorting them to continue to walk in the same way that they received Jesus to begin with. So let's think about that for a second. The word that Paul uses here for received, it highlights that they received not just the teaching about Jesus, but they received him, the person of Jesus. When Epaphras shared the gospel with them, they believed in Jesus, and they trusted in him and embraced a new relationship with him. He was their Lord and their Savior. They had genuine faith, and it produced real fruit in their lives. And so they began their Christian life in Jesus, rooted in him. And now Paul exhorts them to keep walking in him. And he explains a little bit what that looks like. The words "built up" and "established," they're present tense in the original language. So they could read more like "being built up" and "being established." And they're also passive tense, which highlights that it's God's work in Christ who has already rooted them and who is now building them up and establishing them in the faith. And the end result of being rooted in Christ and walking in him, Paul points out, is thankfulness, a life overflowing with thankfulness. Okay, then, great. Sounds easy enough, right? Keep walking in Jesus. Well, not exactly, right? There's a reason why Paul needed to encourage the Colossians to keep walking in Jesus, right? There's a reason they needed to be reminded of that. Let's keep going to see why. Verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." Paul knew that we have real enemies fighting against us, seeking to take us captive, looking to kidnap or seduce or enslave us. That was a very real danger for the Colossians. And it's also a really real danger for us too, right? Just like today, there were all kinds of ideas and philosophies floating around out there that were incompatible with the gospel. And ultimately, they would work to enslave them and hinder them from continuing to walk in Jesus. It's a theme we see throughout the Bible, and Paul highlights it here. Even though we can't see it with our eyes, we're in the midst of a spiritual battle. The world bombards us from the outside, right? Constantly feeding us messages that are not in line with the gospel. They hinder us in our walk. And if it's not the world on the outside, then it's our weak, selfish, sinful desires on the inside. We're prone to sin and selfishness. Our flesh is never satisfied. Our hearts lead us astray. And if that's not enough, we have an enemy, the devil and his demons, who are actively working against us to keep us from receiving Jesus or walking in him. He's called the father of lies in 1 Peter, and he's described as a lion looking for someone to devour. He knows how to use the messages of the world and our own fleshly desires to take us captive. So Paul knows that, and he's warning them, and he says this: see to it that you don't get taken captive. Okay, this was something they needed to do actively to keep guarding against. And so now for the rest of the chapter, Paul is going to help them to see to it that they don't get taken captive. And here's how he does it. He exposes the lies in all of these messages, and then he's going to combat those lies with the truth about Jesus, who Jesus is. Okay, and it's going to get really good really fast, okay? You guys ready? Okay, stick with me. Here we go. All right. Verse 9, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority." Some of the false teachers, they were teaching that Jesus wasn't really fully God. He was more of a mediator to reach the eternal God who is actually fully God. And so Paul, he gives us one of the clearest statements of Jesus' divinity that you can find in the Bible. In him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Jesus is fully God. He's complete, lacking nothing. There's no greater fullness that he could have. And the false teachers, they weren't just teaching false things about Jesus. They were also teaching that there was a greater fullness for the Colossians to experience, to be found outside of Jesus, with a promise of security or satisfaction or significance or just maybe excitement in life. And they were encouraging the Colossians, go seek that out. Go find that however you can. And so Paul reminds them in those verses, not only is Jesus fully God, but they have already been filled in him. It's empty to chase after other things for fullness, because there's no greater fullness than in Jesus. Going after other things only leads to disappointment and discouragement. You guys ever experienced that in your life? I have. I experience that all the time. I did just yesterday. Okay, yesterday was Saturday. I've been feeling a little busy and tired just in life, and so as I approached this Saturday, it was going to be a day off, I was like ready for this day off. Okay, I was gonna get refreshed, be ready to go. Okay, this was my plan. I was gonna wake up leisurely in the late morning. All right, the late morning, and I was gonna play happily and harmoniously with our two boys. All right, then we were gonna go to the mall and go out to lunch, and I was gonna get a nice big juicy Flip Spot burger. You ever been to Flip Spot? Good burgers in the mall. Go there sometime. I got the Hot Spot burger, okay, extra spicy. It was going to be delicious. I was ready for that, right? And to wash it down with a nice Cherry Coke. You may not look forward to Cherry Coke like I do, but I look forward to Cherry Coke. I love Cherry Coke. And then we'd head home, and we were going to enjoy our boys' nap time, right? Melissa and I, maybe we'd get to sit and read a book, or maybe watch a show, or I hate to say it, but after all, this is what I think would be a refreshing Saturday, not what you think. Maybe we'd get to snuggle up and watch the Wolverines beat on Florida, which they did. If you didn't know, I'm a Wolverine. I'm sorry about that. There's a greater distance between us. I can feel it. Okay, then when that was all done, then, you know, we would just enjoy some more fun family playtime and head off for an early bedtime. And, you know, at the end of the day, it would leave my heart feeling full and me being refreshed and ready to take on a new week, right? That's where I was going in my head. It was a good plan, kind of. Except, even if all those things happened exactly like I planned them, which did not happen, all right? There's still no substitute for Jesus. In comparison, they're empty, as great as they are. It's so easy to be taken captive by ideas like this, isn't it? You sense those ideas popping into your mind every now and then. Somehow, if I just get this or that, my life will be better. I'll feel more full. If I just get a better job, this job is the thing. If I just earn a little bit more money, if I just find a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a husband or a wife, then my life will be complete. If I could just have one kid, or two kids, or four kids and a dog, whatever your American dream that you prefer looks like, then I'd be happy and secure, and my life would have significance. You encounter those ideas? You have those ideas? I do all the time. The world screams them at us, right? You guys know Taco Bell? Their slogan? Live mas, right? Live more. And how do we do that? A chalupa. The promise of fullness in life. It's silly, but we buy into those ideas all the time, don't we? Nothing and no one can fill us like Jesus. So what is it for you when you think about your life? What's going on right now? What are you looking to other than Jesus to give your life fullness? Don't forget, we're in a spiritual battle. There's an enemy working to take you captive by those ideas, to get you to buy into the idea that there's something greater out there that you can find. But the truth is, true and complete fullness is found only in Jesus. I wonder, do we really believe that this morning? Let's keep reading. In verse 11, it says, "In him also..." We just got a reminder. Hold on, ignore that, okay? "In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." I bet you didn't think we were going to be talking about circumcision and new moon festivals when you walked into church today. All right, sorry we didn't warn you about that. All right, let's make the most of it though. Here's another lie the Colossians were being told. We can see it in that passage. In some way, you need to work to get right with God. You need to work to find forgiveness. You need to work to find acceptance with God. You need to work to find God's favor. Maybe if you just work hard enough, God will like you more. And the Colossians took this idea and ran with it in all kinds of directions, right? Some looked to religious ceremonies like circumcision and baptism to make them right with God. Others, they observed strict rules about eating and drinking because they thought that through that strict legalistic rules, they would make themselves better or more acceptable to God. And while these ideas, they may even sound spiritual, the problem is that forgiveness and favor with God are found in Jesus alone, not in any of that work. By grace, through faith in Jesus, there's no working for it. Paul explains why. Those religious ceremonies, they were meant to be pictures pointing to a greater reality which was fulfilled in Jesus. And without God's intervention, we weren't just in need of a little improvement here or there. We were spiritually dead. We have uncircumcised flesh and a record of debt standing against us because of our sins. There was nothing we could do to earn salvation to begin with. And now that we've begun in Christ, there's nothing we can do to earn forgiveness or favor with God. You know, I don't think we tend to focus as much on religious ceremonies in our culture as they did then. But I wonder if these ideas, if the heart behind these ideas doesn't still creep into our minds. Thoughts like this. If I just do or don't do X, then God will love me more. Then God will be happy with me. Then I'll be okay with God. If I just serve more, God will be happy with me. If I just read my Bible more, then I'll be okay with God. If I'm just more faithful in my roles and my responsibilities, then God will love me more. If I just prayed more or gave more, then God wouldn't be disappointed with me. If I just don't get angry with my kids and yell at them, then I'll be okay with God. If I measure up as a parent, the list goes on and on. Sure, we know we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus, but now I got to get to work. You ever have that thought? I think these kinds of thoughts all the time, right? Alyssa shared about this earlier, but I do this in the realm of parenting all the time. I think, you know, Dave, Jesus, he wants you to be a perfect godly parent. He wants you to raise perfect little angels. So what do you think I do with that? I cry out to Jesus, I say, my only hope for my kids is in him, right? And I trust in him. Or do I go run and get to work to make it happen? I'll tell you what happens in my life. I think it's on me and I gotta go get it done. My first instinct is to run out to the bookstore. Alyssa shared, we did this. It's to run out to the bookstore and read everyone's ideas about how to parent right. Hoping I can learn the rules of parenting and apply them, and that will make my kids turn out right. I know that's a trap. It's not the case, but I still have to fight those thoughts every day. God's not happy with me if I don't measure up as a parent. We learn this performance mentality from the world, right? But in our relationship with God, it's a lie. From the enemy. In Christ, and only in Christ, do we have forgiveness and favor. We can't be any more forgiven than we already are. We can't have any more favor with God than we already have. I wonder if we really believe that this morning when we look at our lives. Let's keep reading. In verse 18, it says, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Referring to things that all perish as they're used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. True freedom is found in Jesus alone. If you think about it, the Colossians were in danger, right? We've talked about it already, of being taken captive. But being captive to having to work their way to forgiveness with God. They were captive to seeking out that next thing in the hope that it would make their lives better, maybe a little bit more full. But in Jesus, there's freedom from that performance. There's freedom from legalism. There's freedom from seeking out that next experience, or that next upgrade, whatever it may be in your life. True freedom is found in Jesus alone. Think about those enemies we mentioned earlier. Paul says, we died to the world. It has no power over us. The world, it's still there. We still live in the world. But there's no need to submit to the world's lies any longer. While we were once slaves to sin and controlled by our selfish, fleshly lust for more, Jesus has put off our body of flesh and given us a new nature that desires to please Him. The flesh has no power over us. Fleshly desires may still be there, but there's no need to submit to them. We were once captives to the devil and his evil plans, but in Christ, He has disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. Paul said in there, He's the head of all rule and authority. He has put them to open shame. The devil has no power over us. He may still be there. There's no need to submit to his lies. True freedom is found only in Jesus. I wonder if we really believe that in our lives. Is that what our lives show? Because if you think about it, the world will tell you the exact opposite of that, right? The world tells us true freedom, it means doing whatever you want to do. Whenever you want to do it, never saying no to yourself. You deserve it. Do whatever you feel, whatever makes you happy, and be very suspect of anyone who tells you otherwise. Isn't that the message you hear about freedom? Following Jesus is a drag. It's restricting. There's so many rules about what you should do and you shouldn't do. You lose all your freedom. Here's the problem with that. Living a life where you chase all those things outside of Jesus that you hope will make you happy, fill you up, makes you a slave to them. And in the end, they're empty and they're of no value. Guys, don't be taken captive in this spiritual battle. Fullness, forgiveness, and freedom can be found in Jesus alone. I wonder what from those things stands out to you today. How are you seeking out fullness in your life other than in Jesus? Security, significance, satisfaction. How are you seeking out forgiveness or favor with God outside of Jesus' grace? Where are you seeking out freedom in your life outside of Jesus? Think about the fruit for just a second of those lies in your life. The performance. You feel stress, pressure, insecurity, discontentment. But then look at the fruit of looking to Jesus for those things. Paul hit on it right at first. It's a life overflowing with thankfulness. The ironic thing is we have all those things in Jesus. We already have all those things. if we see that and we remember that, we walk in that, we can be thankful and overflow with thankfulness. Before I close, I just want to point out one more thing, and Paul hit on this too a little bit, but you're not alone in this. You're not alone in the spiritual battle. You don't have to work to walk in Jesus alone. Did you catch that in there? Paul talked about how we're a body, the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, and we hold fast to him. But together, we're able to help one another, and through that, God produces growth. In the same way that Paul is helping the Colossians here, we can disciple one another. We can help one another walk in Jesus. And one of the best places we have to do that as a church is in our city life groups or our campus teams and their small groups. If you're not involved, think about getting involved in there. It's where we can help one another walk in Jesus. Mark that on your Connect card. Don't walk alone. So, just as you received Jesus, keep walking in him. Having been rooted in him, being built up in him, and being established in him, and overflowing with thankfulness. Don't let anyone lie to you, not even yourself. Truthfulness and forgiveness and freedom are found only in Jesus. In Christ, you already have all those things. We experience them as we walk in him. So keep walking in him. Let's pray. Jesus, thanks for today and this chance we have to come together and just be reminded that we begin in you and that we continue in you. You have given us all those things and so much more. God, I pray we'd realize that, hold fast to those truths, and fight off any lie that would take us captive that's contrary to looking for those things in you. We pray you'd help us to do that. We pray you'd help us to help one another be able to see the lies that we're buying into and to help remind each other of the truth and cling to that truth. It is all about you, all for you, all because of you. We pray you'd help us to realize that and walk that out in our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen.